As you heard, we just got back. It was a great experience being in Houston. There were 31,000 people there at the National Youth Gathering, and I couldn't have asked for a better group to go along with. They were tremendous. But we chose to drive to Houston. I had no idea that they placed Houston that far across the map. We had a number of different reasons for wanting to drive, but now, in retrospect, I don't exactly know what they were. But we drove, and we drove, and we drove. Actually, I drove. They rode. 2,641 miles, give or take a foot or two. We drove because we didn't want to have to deal with flight. We drove because we thought it would be easier, it would give us an advantage of having transportation in Houston, but it kept us out of the airport. Because there's a lot of hassles when you fly. First off, when you fly, you need to get there an hour and a half, 2 hours early, depending on what airport you're at and what time it is and what the crowd happens to be. You have to pack in certain ways. You can only take some things with you and other things you can't in your carry-on. And if you want to take a bag and put it underneath, you have to pay extra. And then you have the joy coming into the attention of the TSA. Now, I've met many wonderful people who work TSA. But you know, to make your trip kind of go downhill fast, it really only takes one, doesn't it? One underachieving, passive-aggressive, should have had another cup of coffee before I went to work person, make your trip hit the bottom. Now, I don't travel very often by plane, probably 4 to 6 times a year, but I do have a routine. Almost every trip I take, it's carry-on. So if it's carry-on, then you can only take certain things with you. They have to be of those minimal sizes, and you have to pack them away in a certain thing, and it has to go through that little X-ray machine where they take a look at it. So I wear contact lenses. There are these gas-permeable things that require a hydrogen peroxide solution to clean them at night. So I've never had a problem. Almost never. Well, one day it went through the scanner and I was asked to step aside. And so as I stepped aside, a gentleman came up, he took my bag, he walked over to me, opened the bag up, started going through my bag and came to my toiletry bag, opened it up, and pulled out the hydrogen peroxide solution and said, "What is this?" I said, "It's hydrogen peroxide solution for my contacts." "Well, you're not allowed to have this." "Really?" "I've flown dozens of times with this in my bag and nobody said anything at all." "Well, you can't take it on this flight." And I resisted my urge to be able to argue the point for the sake of arguing the point in an argument that I knew I was no longer going to win. Instead, I said, "Okay, you can keep it." Which didn't entertain him very much, and so we slowly went through the rest of my luggage. Not bad enough that the TSA tells you what you can take, can't take, and how much of what you can take. But then you have these other individuals who tell you you can't take the things you knew you could take previously. That's just the way it works. Now, at the sake of being offensive, if you look at today's gospel lesson, I'd say that our Lord and Savior probably served as a ancient Middle Eastern TSA agent. Sending the disciples on a trip, telling them exactly what it is they could and couldn't take. And there wasn't even a plane involved. It was a spiritual journey for the disciples, and the point of that spiritual journey was built into the fact that everything they needed would be provided for them. But they simply needed to rely on God, to place their trust in God and understand that God would fulfill for them whatever need it was they had to be able to complete the journey. Not a bad deal. Later on, we find out a pretty successful journey. We too are sent on that same sort of journey. Not necessarily on any particular given day, but really every day. Because on our journey, we are called to proclaim the gospel message. We are to proclaim Jesus to the world. And like the disciples, we have some travel restrictions. Or at least some baggage restrictions we should probably think of. I think if Jesus had his own way, we'd probably just be going with a shirt on our back like the disciples went with the robes on theirs, to be able to be focused and understand exactly what it is that we were called to do. But it's important for us to take a look at the baggage we take on our life trips. It's important to understand the baggage that we have when we go out to proclaim the gospel message, because that baggage may be counterproductive to what God calls us to do. So there's some things we might be better served by leaving at home, setting away someplace else. We have the baggage of prejudice and bias. We can't really fulfill that gospel calling of talking about God's love when we have an innate sense of superiority to the person we might be talking to because of their skin color, because of their religion, because of their sexual identity. And so that might be something best left far away. We have the baggage within ourselves that calls us sometimes not to deal with people in the way we should. To find ourselves called to be able to deliver that gospel message, but only to certain people. People who deserve it. The people like me. The people who fill perhaps the 31,000 within the National Youth Gathering, which one African-American gentleman said, "I don't know why I'm speaking to you as a group because you're the whitest denomination I've ever seen." But because of that, that can work against us in terms of who we are and the interactions we have with people and how we choose to proclaim that gospel message. When we're called to go out into the world, we're not called to choose to pick who it is that we speak to, but rather we are called to proclaim that message to whomever God places before us. And so we need to be very careful about that personal baggage that we might have, that we set it aside. We have to be careful about the political baggage that we carry, because that can do all kinds of damage. Anything that goes against what God has called us to do is a bias and a problem that we need to think about and understand and prayerfully consider placing off to the side. Anything that works against our call to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to visit those who happen to be in the hospital or in prison, and to welcome the stranger into our midst. When we carry a bias that goes against that, not doing the job that God called us to do. We all have baggage. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. But when it comes to us proclaiming the gospel message of God's love, if we prayerfully consider the things we believe, the things we think, the things we do that allow us in our decision-making process, that anything that goes against our ability to love God, to love our neighbor, to as a bag that needs to be left at the curb because it has no place within our lives. It has no place within the kingdom of God.